Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at verses 22 and 23. And we're looking at this idea still of could tongues have ceased, and started again, as most charismatic / Pentecostals now claim. So look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this night and for the opportunity to continue on in this journey as we're looking at all of the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. And Father, one of them is the gifts. And as we're going through these and we're looking at tongues, tongues has ceased. The Bible is very clear. And so we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for your word that we can study it, that we can apply it to our lives, and that we can know when we hear things that don't line up with it, that we can discard them. And so we're thankful for this night and the opportunity to be back in your word again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll turn over to Matthew 24, verse 11, and then we'll go down to verse 24. So Matthew 24:11, and then we'll drop down to verse 24. Verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. In verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It's interesting to me, as I've talked to some people over the years, and born and raised in Baptist churches and stuff, and then all of a sudden they get involved in these charismatic movements, this Pentecostal movement or whatever, and the next thing you know, they've gone from not believing in tongues to believing in tongues. And it's, how does that happen? It happens because they're not grounded in their faith. It happens because they don't know what they believe or why they believe it. And every once in a while you'll talk to somebody and they'll tell you, well, I just use the King James Version of the Bible because it was what was handed to me and it was told that's what we use. Well, wouldn't it be better if you had a better reason than that? So if I handed you an NIV and said this is what you use, you'd believe that that's what you use? Or if I handed you the English Standard Version and said this is what you use, you'd just believe that's what everybody uses? There's a reason why you believe what you believe, and you should know it. And so it's interesting how people can very easily be swayed from what they believe, which is true if they're following the King James Version of the Bible for the English-speaking people, to something that's totally off base just because somebody said, well, this is what we believe. And it goes back to when they're swayed with every wind of doctrine. They don't know what they believe, and they don't know why they believe it. And so you can go in and tell them something different, and all of a sudden they're on that side of the fence. And somebody else will come along and tell them the truth again, and then they'll switch to that side of the fence. And then somebody else comes along, and they're just wishy-washy. They have no idea what they believe or why they believe it. But this tongues movement, there's a lot of people who got on board with it, because if you're told you can't be saved, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues, a lot of people are going, well, then I've got to get on board with that, right? I want to be saved. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The only problem is that's not true. So we have to know what we believe and why we believe it so that we can discern the truth from the false stuff out there. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians, please, and we'll look at chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 through 12. Starting in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And again, it makes sense if you know what you believe and why you believe it. So you can, when these false teachers come out, you can understand where they're coming from, and Satan's behind it all. Now, it'd be really nice if we could just say, "Satan, I know that's you again, not listening," right? But instead, a lot of people will listen, and then they'll be swayed with that every wind of doctrine again, and they'll believe a lie. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. That's not right. Yes, 1 Timothy 6, 5. First Timothy 6:5, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Don't get involved with them. Stay away from them. Know the truth so that when you're hearing stuff that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you can cast it out. There's so much of it out there in the world today. But it was going on back then too. There's nothing new under the sun, as the Bible tells us. It's been going on forever. People are trying to get people tripped up by giving them false teachings. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." People who believe these things, that tongues, you have to have them to be saved. You have to be speaking in them, rather, to be saved or to have the Holy Spirit. People are falling for that, and so they get involved in it. And how easy is it to get involved in speaking in tongues? All you have to do is listen to somebody who's doing it for a little bit, and pretty soon it becomes really easy for you to copy or mimic the same thing. But it's not biblical. It has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live." Over and over and over you see that Satan's just behind all this stuff. Satan's the one that keeps pushing it. Satan's the one that wants to get people to question the Word of God, to question why God's Word says one thing and why Satan wants you to go a different way. Satan has nothing new at his disposal. He uses the same tactics over and over and over to trip us up. And we know that, right? I mean, I'm not telling you anything we don't already know, that we haven't already heard. Satan uses the same stuff. So why is it sometimes we'll say no and sometimes we give in? When we know it's him. We know what he's doing. We know what he has at his disposal. And he uses the same tactics over and over and over. And one time we'll say no, and the next time we'll give in. So, of course, the answer is no, that they haven't ceased and begun again, because Pentecostals and Charismatics claim that tongues ceased for 2,000 years and then returned. and also claim that tongues are evidence of salvation, which was from the United Pentecostals and Apostolic, or of being filled with the Spirit, Charismatics, Assemblies of God, and others. To accept this, one must accept that either no one was saved at that time, or no one was spiritual for 2,000 years. Does anybody here believe that nobody got saved for 2,000 years? That nobody was spiritual for 2,000 years? I mean, that you'd have to believe a lie to believe that. God today is still in the saving business. And I can tell you that there's charismatics and Pentecostals out there that'll say, witnessing to people doesn't work anymore. It's worked for thousands of years, and it still works today if people will do it. It's amazing. I mean, you heard from the Turks. They listed four people that got saved, right? We've heard from the Rojas how Miss Roma led two ladies to the Lord in just their limited area that they are even allowed to go out and share the gospel. And yet two ladies came to know Christ. It still works. These people say, no, we need something new. There's nothing new under the sun. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Just let God do what God does. Then tongues have ceased because all groups who claim tongues today claim an unbiblical form of tongues, the ecstatic non-human prayer languages, and practice tongues in unbiblical ways, ignoring scriptural commands concerning the practice. And we went through that. There had to be unbelieving Jews. They had to have no more than two, three at the most. They had to speak in turn, and there had to be an interpreter. Those are good questions to ask if somebody talks about that stuff. Where are the unbelieving Jews? Why are they doing it all together at once instead of one at a time? No more than two or three at the very most in any service. And where's the interpreter? They don't like it when you ask those questions because they don't have answers for those questions. Because it goes against what they're trying to tell you that they want you to believe, which is a lie. Their experience is therefore not a valid argument for tongues today. And they'll use that line. Well, so-and-so, a friend of mine, experienced it, and so it's got to be real. When experience contradicts Scripture, throw your experiences out and stick with the Scripture. Because God's not going to lead you astray. God hasn't changed His mind on things. I used that line today at the meeting I was at. I said, when God changes His mind, I'll change mine. And this couple I was talking to, he said, God has never changed, and He's never going to change. I said, end of discussion then, right? Because I'm not going to change until God changes. And if God's not going to change, then guess what? The answer is, I'm not going to change. You know, but people think that God's changed His mind, right? They'll tell you, well, this is what He said, but this is what He really means, and this is what He expects today. No, He expects what He said. It hasn't changed. God's Word's been the same. Yes, the English language and different, like the Turks, they're translating to the Indonesian language, right? And people say, well, they're translating from the King James. No, what did He say? From the Textus Receptus, the authorized text. That's what they're translating from. So what they're doing in the Indonesian language is supposed to go back to the Textus Receptus so that that's their manuscript that they're using, just like the King James. So we have to understand that the King James is for the English-speaking people. They're going to have an Indonesian Bible, praise the Lord, and thank God for what He's done through the Turks and the Translation Committee and Brother Hurley and all. They have come a long ways. I know they've been working on this translation at least as long as I've been in this church, which is going on 12 years this fall. I'm sure it was going on before that, because they'd already had some of it done, so I know that didn't just happen overnight. And God's getting them so that one day the Indonesian people will have an accurate Bible in their language. What a blessing. I just get excited because God's allowed us to have a part in that. Because we send some support to help them out. I was talking to a guy the other day and I said, we support now 41 different works out there. And I said, we do that. He goes, you single-handedly support 41 works? Time out. No, we help support 41 different works. No, trust me, on what we send them, there's no way they could live on that, let alone translate or do anything else. But we help. God allows us an opportunity to help in all these different works. And I'm excited that we get to. And I'm excited that people see the vision of doing that. Then the explanation of modern tongues. If modern tongues are not Bible tongues, then how do we explain them? Tongues may be a learned experience, as I mentioned earlier. This is the conclusion of Kildall and Qualbin in a long-range study commissioned by the American Lutheran Church and the National Institute of Mental Health, The Psychology of Speaking in Tongues. A study at Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada, showed that virtually anyone can learn tongues with a minimum of instruction and modeling. 60 people were given just two brief training sessions, including video and audio of actual charismatic services. They were then told to try for just 30 seconds to imitate the tongues. 100% were able to do so, and 70% fluently. Do you see how easy it is for them to pick this up? Many charismatics actually hold seminars to teach people how to speak in tongues. Of people learning how to speak in tongues at a teaching seminar, MacArthur writes, how can this be viewed as anything other than learned behavior? Anyone who hears it enough can do it. You just listen to it over and over and over, and basically, if you just start babbling nonsense, you're probably on the right track to doing what they're doing, because that's all it is. While the majority of tongue speakers have never attended a formal seminar, they have received far more training than the secular students in Carleton University study did just by attending services. Coaches then often surround prospective tongue speakers in services and instruct them on how to do it, even suggesting syllables and sounds with which to begin. Then just keep telling them to do it over and over and over. Tongues may be a psychological experience. Several psychological and physiological conditions can cause a person to lose conscious control of speech center of his brain and produce the same response as modern tongues. No difference. In the Babylonian mystery religions of Corinth, the psychological state which produced their false ecstatic utterances, tongues, was brought about by fast, frenzied chants, slow hypnotic chants, whirling dances, music, trumpets, sounding brass, and clanging cymbals, and revivalistic fervor. All of these measures were used to psychologically induce these false tongues. See, it's just, there's nothing biblical about it. Nothing whatsoever. One cannot help but notice the similarity to the order of modern Pentecostal and charismatic services. First, there is the praise time, with loud instruments, upbeat music, and much physical activity. Then there is the worship time, with slow-moving, repetitive choruses, stillness, and much time with eyes closed. This is followed by intense challenges to trust, believe, and surrender to the experience, while surrounded by others modeling the experience. The order itself is not evil, If overly intense, it does match the emotional environment needed to produce the states of hypnotizability or altered states of consciousness used by paganism to produce their false miracles, tongues, physical manifestations, and even healings. None of this was needed to produce the miracles in the New Testament. Isn't it interesting where they try to redo what God's already done, but they can't do it because they're not God. So they counterfeit what God's done and try and say it's spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about it. And Satan knows that, but he still uses it. MacArthur quotes Dr. E. M. Pattison of the Christian Association for Psychological Studies as stating that as a psychological phenomenon, glossolalia, tongues, is easy to produce and will result whenever conscious, willful control of speech is interfered with, whether by injury to the brain, by psychosis, or by passive renunciation by willful control. Interesting how this happens. The experience is commonly referred to as motor automatism. It can result in the loss of control of language or speech, or in total loss of control of nearly all voluntary controlled muscles. The similarities to modern tongues and to being slain in the spirit are exact. It has been observed in cases of brain damage or tumors, stroke, schizophrenia, extreme emotional excitement such as a rock concert or duress, and in New Age and cultic religious services. Over and over and over, you can see this stuff. And that's like, I'm very adamant about how I feel about the rock and roll music in the churches today. I think there's no place for it and it needs to be thrown out. But I don't get to dictate to other churches what they do. I just say there's a reason why it is not here and will not be here. As long as I'm here, I can guarantee that. It's not going to happen. Some of the most damaging testimony against the reality of most modern tongues comes from the instructions given by many within the movement concerning how to receive them. One booklet instructs seekers to repeat the word hallelujah up to 500 times until you lose control. Okay, one reason I can't ever get involved in that is I would lose count on the hallelujahs at some point in time before I got to the 500, right? I mean, we have enough trouble sometimes getting through four stanzas of a hymn, right, with staying on track. How would you get through 500 of those? But if you do it long enough, you'll lose control. And W.A. Criswell quotes from a charismatic book giving instructions for how to receive the baptism. Begin speaking words, sounds, syllables, and keep it up. Faster, 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 louder, louder, words, more words, faster, faster, and it has happened. You have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what they try to tell you. God's not in that. He's not in it. As I've said many times, if God's not in it, I don't want a part of it. Let's just do what God's in. Episcopal Dennis Bennett, credited by the Encyclopedia Britannica as being founder of the charismatic movement, writes this: open your mouth and show that you believe by beginning to speak. Don't speak English or any other language you know, but that would be just me speaking. Exactly. God does not speak in tongues. People speak in tongues. Open your mouth and speak out the first syllables and expressions that come to your lips. You must begin to speak. The believer must always begin to speak. The first sounds are just priming the pump. A few halting sounds. Keep on with these sounds. They will develop and grow. It may take days or even weeks. Inevitably, many will say, that was just me. Of course, it was just you speaking while the Holy Spirit provided the words. Not true. Not true. How many times have I said, don't blame God for what you've done? It's not his fault. Don't blame God for speaking in tongues when he said they have ceased. It's not his fault. We want to give God credit for things he didn't do and not give him credit for the things he did do. Let's get back to letting God be God and let him take the credit. All right, we are out of time tonight, so we're going to end there.